Welcome back. You're listening to 770 CHQR and More Than Money. And the federal government changed the rules for all business owners carte blanche. Doesn't matter about what you do in your business, what's happened. The rules have changed for those who have families involved in their business. There were some strategies that some tax professionals were using to minimize or liquidate or reduce your tax bill. Well, that's all changed coming up this year, actually. And so we wanted to talk about that and some of the things that we have to be aware of. Let's bring in our reoccurring guest. He is the partner in Nizam in Shajani LLP. This is Nizam Shajani. Nizam, welcome to the show.
Hi, happy to be here.
So what? First of all, let's start off with this whole income sprinkling idea. What is it and what has changed when it comes to the rules?
Okay, so income sprinkling is something new that our finance minister brought up in the last year or so with the passing of the new, with the 2017 federal budget. This is basically splitting income between family members. If you look at a family member earning at dividend at the highest tax rate here in Alberta, they're going to be paying about 41.64% on that dividend. However, if they have an adult child and they were to give them, let's say, a $25,000 dividend, that child would pay little or no tax on that. So that'd be a $10,400 savings just by issuing that dividend to that child. If you add another child in the mix, if you add a spouse into the mix as well, utilize that to split income, those numbers start to multiply quite well.
So what's changed in those rules? Because that's brought up a lot of business owners are upset with this new change. So kind of walk through what the rule changes have happened.
So what's changed is basically the terminology under tax on split income, or TOSI. So the rules prior to January 1st, 2018, were that you could put dividends to any shareholders in your corporation, and they would be taxed at their own marginal tax rates. However, if you had put a dividend to anybody under the age of 18, they'd be taxed at the highest marginal tax rate, so at that 41.64%. The new rules are basically extending that to not just kids under the age of 18, but this is now including your adult children and as well as your spouse. So there are certain areas where you need to qualify to be able to give them a dividend and not have them taxed at the highest tax rate.
So what do you have to do to qualify?
So what you're looking at is there's three main categories. There's excluded shares, there's excluded business, and then coming into something that's a little bit more ambiguous called reasonable contributions. So if you have excluded shares, this is if the family member owns 10% or more of both the votes and value of the corporation, they could potentially qualify. However, this is specifically not available for professional corporations or service-based businesses.
So let me just stop right there, Nizam. The reason why I'm jumping in there is because in Alberta, with the energy patch, many people have become consultants. Those are considered service-based businesses, correct?
Absolutely. And the vast majority of businesses in Alberta, especially if family-run businesses, are service-based.
So there you go. So that's the excluded shares. What about excluded businesses?
So for excluded businesses, we're looking at what we're looking at is anybody who's working within the business. So they actually have a test called a bright line test for this, and so you have to be actively engaged on a regular and continuous basis in any of either the current year or any of the previous 5 years. And what CRA is giving us guidance on that is they're saying you're working at least 20 hours per week on average in the business. So if you're working 20 hours a week or more in the business, they will consider you actively engaged, and then you do not have to worry about receiving a dividend.
So what if you're not working 20 hours a week, but you are contributing? I have many clients whose university students come in during the summer and help out with the family business, either from bookkeeping all the way to actually running the till in their convenience store, whatever it may be. What do they do in that situation?
So this is where it gets very ambiguous. So now to get a dividend, you need to be over the age of 24. So you're not, you don't necessarily have excluded shares. You don't work 20 hours a week in the business. So you need to be over 24. So they increased the age for those kiddie tax rules to 24. So over the age of 24, And then you need to prove your contribution to the business. You have to show that it's your contributions are reasonable in terms of the work that you've performed, any property that you've contributed, or any risks that you've assumed along with, and compare that to other family members as well. So really, we haven't gotten too much guidance in that area, and so it's kind of everyone trying to figure out what's a reasonable contribution to a family business.
And this won't actually become somewhat of a test until it gets to court, to tax court, correct? Until a judge makes a rule on this, it is all is it fair to say it's all guesswork from here on?
Yeah, it's fair to say, and unfortunately, that's what a lot of people are waiting for. Unless we receive a little bit more guidance, I think we're just going to have to wait for somebody to go through the court process and wait for a judge to give us a little bit more guidance in terms of what is reasonable, what is not. And especially on the risk side of things, if you look at a lot of family businesses, you'll end up seeing that, you know, a spouse may have not contributed time or 20 hours a week, but they may have contributed through, you know, borrowing on the family home or signing a personal guarantee, without which that business would not have survived. It would have not come to this position to be able to issue a dividend to anybody within the family.
Or even intellectual property. Like Nizam, if you think about some of these younger individuals who are helping out with the family business, have a well-known fact about, let's say, social media, marketing strategies, so on and so forth, that helps the business in some form. Even just basic graphic designing, which is so much easier for one who's computer friendly, where their parents may not be able to do that. That's contributing, but it's not 20 hours per week, but that could be substantial in the growth of the business.
Absolutely, and you'd probably also want to argue that, you know, some of the parents were to do that themselves, it would probably take them more than 20 hours a week, whereas a lot of these kids in university can do it in a much faster pace. That said, we don't have a way of valuing that necessarily in terms of in relation to the dividend that they would receive from the company.
So what should people do to handle this? We've got about a minute and a half left. So what should they do going forward to prepare themselves for these big changes? More importantly, how do they swallow that big tax bill that could potentially be coming because they can't do the splitting anymore?
Really, what we need to do is not necessarily say they can't do the splitting, but we need to test any dividends that you want to issue to your family members. So you want to test the dividends for, you know, do they fall within the excluded shares? Are they? Is there an excluded business available there as well, or exemption there? And then you want to go through their reasonable contributions. So list out all the contributions for your family members. Try and have some sort of reasonable gauge as to what the value of that is, so you can justify why they would be receiving a dividend. So I wouldn't say necessarily right off the bat, don't do a dividend. I would say give it some thought, talk to your accountant, talk to a professional to see if they can find some sort of reason for a dividend that's going to family members.
And how does this impact in any way with the rules about investing passive income in your business? How does that work? Does that intermingle or cause a problem with this? We've got about 30 seconds left.
Yes and no. The passive income would probably come under a different area altogether, which is another thing that's giving a lot of people headaches as well. What that's showing is that the dividend that the profit that your company goes, so that goes right off the prior to the dividend off your net income and the taxable amount that goes to your tax goes to your small business. So that relates between the 12% small business rate and the 27% large corporate tax rate that you would qualify for.
So everybody listening can kind of get an idea that this is becoming more cumbersome, more strategies required for those of you who have businesses with family members as shareholders. Get the advice. Sit down, talk strategy. Do not just file your taxes. Do not have a tax preparer only. Have a tax strategy behind. I think it's very important. Nizam, I want to thank you for joining us today.
Always happy to be here. Thanks.
And this is the kind of conversation we're going to be having at our next seminar about how do you actually reduce the tax man and leave more money for you as you transition to or live in retirement. Many business owners are facing this uphill battle with the government on tax liability. And we'll show you some strategies on how we call it our 3D strategy. We're going to talk about that at our next seminar on Tuesday, August 21st, 7 p.m. at the Oak Ridge Co-op Wine and Spirits. You need to reserve your seats, so give us a call, 966-8400, or go on our website at morethanmoneyradio.com. Now join us after the break, a new luxury development in Calgary, specifically for independent seniors. You're listening to More Than Money on 770 CHQR.